Him clear his throat. That's a good sign that he's there.
I must be getting ready to go on the radio, choking up and getting hoarse.
You're choking up and getting hoarse.
Yep.
A man of your stature? Now, I could understand that if it was some just down-home, low-life kind of guy.
Well, I've been out working on my aniconium claim.
Be careful, that stuff. You know, you got to get a Geiger counter and make sure it's safe to work around it.
I guess so. That's the new fuel of the future.
Future? For powers more radio programs than you could ever imagine.
Well, what's going on in the wide world other than Madonna's stage fell over?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I had some pictures. I hate to get into this topic, but had some pictures of... by the way, this is our monthly visit with Gentleman Jim Mars, otherwise known as Little Jimmy Mars in elementary school days. He's still Little Jimmy Mars to us. He's one of America's great journalists. He's got a number of books out there that I hope all of you do get and read and take very seriously, because Jim understands. He tells it like few are able, capable, or willing to tell it. And he's a journalist.
He just got to be there.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a link to a Family Security Matters website, engaging America's families and our nation's security. And they got a story by Paul Williams, and he's talking about the Strike of the Sword, which represents the first military operation ordered by President Barack Hussein Obama. And the purpose of the campaign is to flush out Taliban operatives from southern Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, right. The Operation Strike of the Sword. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Strike of the Sword.
Yeah. And what this guy is wondering about is, he says, they're ordered not to touch the poppy field. They can't burn down the poppy field and destroy the poppies.
I'm shocked.
They must not return enemy fire for fear of killing an Afghan non-combatant. So their commander Buchner writes and warned them that one civilian casualty could negate the whole number one objective of this operation, which is winning the trust and respect of the farmers in the Helmand River Valley. So what the hell are we doing? You can't shoot back at the people shooting at you.
Sounds like Vietnam. You can't bomb.
It's the same thing. But here's what's funny, Jeff, is that the guy writing this column, I mean, he's irate, and he's scratching his head, and he's going, you know, what the heck's going on? And I can't help but laugh, okay, because this guy represents mainstream America.
He doesn't get it.
That watches CNN and that read Time magazine.
Thinks he's informed, of course.
And he don't get it, okay? He's like, what the heck is going on? And I want to reach through my computer and grab this guy and say, you know, if you listen to Jeff Rentz.
Not me, my guess.
Or even that loudmouth who... his name shall go nameless, or read the books by Jim Mars, or read any number of alternative
sites.
You would understand what's going on.
These people don't understand. You're right. They look, and furthermore, most of them honestly would rather not understand. They want to go along with the sheep and the cattle and follow. It's disgusting.
I just don't understand. I mean, I've always been curious, and even when I wasn't a professional newsman, I'd watch news or I'd read the paper, you know. What's that about? Well, what's going on? Why is all
that curiosity has largely diminished now because people
everybody's fluorided out.
Well, they're reactive. They're not proactive anymore. You're right. They just react to stimuli, and they do what they're told. And they watch this crap, and they think they're informed. The people listening to this program... and who read your book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I bring it up, man. I honor you and your listeners. Anybody who's tuned in to Jeff Rentz tonight, obviously he's got their head on their shoulders and at least has a few brain cells sparking, you know?
Yeah, amen. I think it's the best audience, maybe, in the history of talk radio. The best of talk radio can be found in the wonderful people that come here and
right.
the people who listen, learn. I feel sorry for him because it becomes, after a while, he learns so much that the gap between you and your loved ones and friends that don't know is a friendship breaker and a marriage breaker. And if you get into a position where you let it get out of hand, you gotta go real, real slow with folks.
That's
it's
right.
too much. I find, honestly, the distance is absolutely enormous, Jim, now, between me and even people who want to know. Where do you start to tell them? They've got to discard so much bedrock BS that they've been literally brought up on.
Well,
it's hard.
Here's a classic example. I haven't double-checked this, but I'm sure this strikes me as being true, and I think it is. I'm looking here at the cover of Newsweek, a recent Newsweek. I'm not sure if this week might have been last week. And it's got a Taliban fighter on the front holding up an RPG, and he's got his headdress on. And in Europe, that's the cover of Newsweek, and it says "Losing Afghanistan." And another story inside is "The King and the Coup."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this mm-hmm. land.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the Asia edition of Newsweek, and it's got this Afghan fighter, and it says "Losing Afghanistan." Latin America, here's the Newsweek, same issue. Taliban fighter, RPG, losing Afghanistan. And then we look at the same issue in the United States, and it's got a picture of Annie Leibovitz holding her children, and it's all about how that she is tired and nursing a cold after flying back to New York on a red eye from Los Angeles.
You've got to be kidding.
Where she spent 2 days shooting Angelina Jolie for Vogue magazine.
That's the cover.
And that's the cover. That's what the U.S. readership gets to read. The rest of the world gets to find out what's really going on. As a journalist, I just want to puke.
Well, it is. Well, that's what it is. It's puke. At least, I guess, Michael Jackson is off the cover now. Although I did get some pictures. I posted them yesterday because the guy was apparently shooting up in his calves and his legs, and one of them got infected, and then a huge, big, obvious necrosis there of dead tissue. And
right.
He was a dead man.
You could take any number of recent deaths and probably find just as heart-rending a story.
Yep,
you know?
Of course.
On why and Michael Jackson had... Okay, wait a minute. You know who also died? Well, of course, you know Farrah Fawcett died, but you know that Ed McMahon died.
Yeah.
Okay, now, let's look at Ed McMahon. Here's a guy who quit college and tried to enlist and fly fighters in World War II and just missed it because... he was a little, he was bigger than they wanted, and the war ended. So then he kept pushing, and he went in the Army during Korea and flew artillery as an artillery observer. Is that music? Does that mean we're getting ready to go?
Yeah, hold that right there.
Hold that
thought,
because I want to tell you about this. This is, I think, very telling about modern-day America.
Absolutely, and let's also remember, we've killed between 2 and 4 million Afghan civilians since this horror has started. So winning the hearts and minds of the people is kind of moot at this point. Be right back.
Do you have more than...
Okay, back with Jim Mars. As we look around this rubble we used to call an organized, enlightened society, and see telltale markers all over the place of a looming death, if not a looming utter abject servitude of a hive-like population, we see young people now. 15% of young people say they don't expect to live very long. So they're going to have as good a time as they can. Please go ahead with Ed McMahon, a real American hero.
Yeah. He missed World War II barely, but he dropped out of school and applied to the Marines, and then he finally received orders to the Pacific Fleet in 1945, but the war ended. So as an active officer in the reserves, he was recalled during the Korean War, and this time he flew a Cessna 01E Bird Dog, a single-engine, unarmed plane, as an artillery.
That's got to be about the bravest thing you can do.
Oh, man, yeah, because he's up there circling around in a little bitty light, unarmed plane, and everybody's shooting at him. Meanwhile, the bombers, the fighters come in based on his information, and they drop their loads, and then they scoot for home. And he's still there. A total of 85 combat missions,
unreal,
earning a number of Navy Air Medals, okay? Mm-hmm. And, of course, what we all remember Ed McMahon for is that he, after Korea, he was retired from the military in 1966 as a colonel and then went into broadcast. And, of course, we all remember him as the straight man on the Johnny Carson show, mm-hmm, where, you know, millions of Americans knew who Ed McMahon was.
It was 25 years, wasn't it? Something,
yeah,
almost 30?
Yeah. And so here's a true American hero who risked his life for his country, became a well-known air personality, and was known and loved by millions. He dies, and I'll bet you 1 in 100 Americans don't even know he died, and they certainly don't know his background. Now, I'm not trying to disparage Michael Jackson. I enjoyed Michael Jackson's music, and yes, he's a big pop star, and yes, he deserves coverage, but why does he deserve so much more coverage than an American who volunteered for military service, risked his life, you know?
Because the media can sell more ad space in their magazines and their TV broadcasts, and because we have become a bottom-based, debauched, celebrity idolizing obsessed society of vapid, empty-headed morons for the most part.
Well, oh, Jeff, come on now. Tell us what you really think.
All right. Give me another chance.
I'm sorry, but he pretty well summed it up.
Well,
it's amazing.
It's so sad. I feel terribly bad when I look at our young people and talk to them. The simple thing I've said over and over again, the better your vocabulary, the more you get out of the experience of life. You literally, it's like adding colors to a black and white film. When you have a great vocabulary, you can see and interpret intellectually shades and meanings and nuances that make it such a rich experience. And these kids don't have it. And there's no waking up an intellect that was stillborn at best, or, you know, just in the air anymore.
Or that's being held captive in the electronic matrix of the mass media, radio and television.
All too true.
It's, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, they're clamping down now. I've been reporting on this so-called hate law that the Senate is determined with its Democrat majority to push through, piggybacked onto the military appropriations bill. And we all know, and those of you who have been listening know, Reverend Ted Pike has been fighting this hate bill for 15 years at least. When that passes, if it passes, and it appears like sooner or later they're going to keep knocking until the door is busted down.
Oh, they're going to keep working at it until they get something through, and then it's going to be a disaster.
There
because
are going
here's
to be
the thing.
So many lawsuits, yeah.
I understand, but I understand that there could be a problem with just totally unreconstructed speech, okay? But there ought to be only one law, and one law that says if you do something, and the old classic example is shouting fire in a crowded theater,
and somebody gets hurt.
And somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. So if you by your speech you cause somebody to be physically hurt, damaged, killed, or whatever, then yes, you should be held responsible.
There should be consequences. And 45 states have laws on the books for just that.
They're already there. And when you start talking about speech, what's the matter with everybody? Don't they remember the old childhood verse? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
That's right. And when people become to speak, they will logically become afraid to think, even in that area. They'll stay away from it. It's called
thought
control. Well,
it's already that way, but you know, I'm sure you're well aware, Jeff, that if you try to send a big email out on some incredibly popular, current, but controversial and hot topic, people get it, they read it, but they hesitate to send it to their friends or neighbors or relatives because they don't want to upset anyone, and that's why nobody knows anything.
Well, and even the quasi-intelligent portion of our society is afraid of getting on a list. My God, people.
I know.
You're all on lists.
I know.
You're on so many lists, you couldn't even count them. Some guy has a blog. I had him on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about guns, just for an hour. It's kind of a shopper's guide, a buyer's guide to basic weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
And on his blog appeared something from a group called the Google Research Team, and he was tagged. I guess he wasn't supposed to see it or it got there by mistake, but he was tagged as Rent's guest on buying firearms, Department of Justice, U.S. government. So it's all, look, they got lists and lists of lists and lists, and so you can't, fear-based societies are finished.
Well, there's been an adage that's been knocking around for a number of years now, and it's so, so true. When the government fears the people, that's freedom. When the people fear the government, that's tyranny. Okay? And I'm holding my hand here, the assessment paper from Homeland Security, right-wing extremist. Okay? And, you know, it's amazing in here what they talk about, right? In fact, right off the bat, after about the introductory pages and their key findings, they start off with alternative media.
That's the first thing. Alternative media. Alternative has a bad connotation. Remember after OKC, how the word patriot within couple of weeks was the dirtiest word in the English language?
Right.
That's Tavistock. That's mass social engineering and conditioning. Alternative media is now a dirty word. It's not normal. It's abnormal. It's malignant. It's carcinogenic. There's something wrong with it. It's perverted, corrupt. It's suspect. It's dangerous. It's terrorism.
In other words, we don't want free speech.
We want conformism. You stay within the lines, and you're fine. You're a good person, good man, good woman, no problem.
Yeah, but what does that mean? I mean, does that mean you just bow down and...
No, it means you keep your head down and keep eating.
Yeah.
You don't look up. You look up, somebody's going to say, get your head down, Fred. Get your head back down. Keep eating.
Everything that I grew up with, questioning authority and speaking your mind and being active politically, that was all patriotism. That was being
American.
Of course
it was patriotism. Well said, James.
Okay.
Patriotism is free speech, ladies and gentlemen. And you either have free speech or you don't. There's no degrees
Yeah, really.
Of it.
I mean, saying, we can just have a little bit of free speech. That's the same as saying, the woman's just a little bit pregnant, okay?
Well,
There's certain things, and pregnancy being one of them, the woman's either pregnant or she's not. There's really not any in between.
No,
and with free speech, we either have free speech or we don't. There's nothing much in between.
The talk show host who said recently that anyone who criticized Zionists or Jews should be dead, should die. Now, I'm sorry.
Now, there's a Christian attitude.
If that isn't hate speech, potentially, I don't know what is. But again, we've got laws to deal with that, okay? Now, there was an incident in Philadelphia where a man shot two police officers, maybe it was three, to death. At least two shot him through the head. He had a record of having had domestic abuse calls made to his home. His mother called him anyway. He was
the one he's on psychotropic drugs.
Well, no doubt. But he was an absolute devotee, disciple, Kool-Aid drinking, absolute herd member of another major alternative talk show host. Now, under this law coming up, and even without it, because he was so obsessed with his host and the message that the cops are evil and they're all going to come and kill us, and every cop is a SWAT team member waiting to pull the trigger and all that. Well, he killed two cops. Maybe it was three. Anyway, the families of those dead police officers would seem to me to be, it wouldn't surprise me if they filed suit against, under this new law, the host who got this guy so riled up over such a long period of time. See, when you deal with fear and you pound people with fear all the time, several things happen. One of them, they become desensitized to it. Two, they kind of give up and become resigned to living under that because they know they can't stand up and go out and kick their country back. It doesn't work like that anymore, folks. We're beyond the point of no return in that venue.
Well, and I think I know the talk show host that we're referring to, and frankly, I've never heard him ever say, go out and kill a cop. You know, I don't think he says that. And if he has, then maybe there's some justification.
No,
but
yeah, of course he has.
I don't think he's ever said anything like that.
No.
If he hasn't, then why should he be liable for some
That's exactly
nutball,
right. He shouldn't.
Know?
Absolutely not. He shouldn't. We cannot, as broadcasters or writers or journalists like you, be responsible for what people do with information. And they skew it in their mind, and they are taking, in many cases, chemicals which screw their minds up even worse. So, quite right. This hate law is absurd. We've got to defeat it somehow, some way. All right, be right back. Richard Cook just wrote another short column, and it's got some pretty good text in here, some prose. Let me read this because he gets it, as many good writers do. A world where war is viewed as normal, where human beings knowingly and willingly torture other human beings to death and then lie about it, where governments terrorize their own populations, where millions are deliberately subjected to addictive legal and illegal drugs, where the food supply is degraded for profit, where radiation is purposely introduced into the environment through devices like depleted uranium, where space is viewed as the ultimate high ground for weapons deployment, where assassination is official policy, where pandemics are declared to market dangerous vaccines, where trillions are lavished on financial institutions while families are denied adequate income, health care, and food, where initiative is smothered by taxes and regulations, where justice is bought and sold, where the laws favor mainly the rich, where the media put people to sleep with pablum and nonsense, and where the intellectuals justify the status quo, in a world whose time is up. Oh, pretty good.
Mm.
Now,
pretty good.
I have a question. I have several questions.
Truthful answers will cost you $5.
Can we still take Visa? Or do I have to use that dumb PayPal again?
Oh, I'll even take IOU.
Did you see where the SEC is declaring IOUs are fit as securities? Can be traded and speculated upon and all that? Is this just going to be, pardon the expression?
Well, you know, I guess this is a whole new form of derivative.
It is. It's wild.
So in other words, if I right now owe you for $50,000.
That's just like
you,
the one I got that from you last month, didn't I? Same old thing.
Right. And I guarantee you, you take that paper it's written on, and that's about what it's worth. But are you telling me that if I was to write you an IOU, that you could take an IOU and use it for collateral for a loan?
Yeah. It's a secure. It's a recognized security. The SEC said that California IOUs are securities.
Well, why not? The bankers have been doing that for years. It's about time we can get in on the scam.
I'd say so. Mars International Bank, where IOUs speak.
You know, most people don't even understand banks, really. If I were to come to you and say, Jeff, give me all your
they
money,
don't understand
and I will keep it safe for you, and then anytime you want it back, of course, you can have it back. Would you give me all your money? No, and neither would anybody else. But if I build a nice big steel and brick and glass building and put a sign on it that says bank, well, you'll come run down and you'll give me all your money, and I keep it safe for you, except I don't just keep it. I loan it to Joe at interest, okay? So now if you'll think about it from a business sense, the bank has an asset, which is your money, but it's also got a debit because it went out the door as a loan to Joe. Mm-hmm. So the asset and the debt cancel each other out so that your money doesn't mean anything, okay, except for one thing. When Joe pays the money back, your money back, and there's interest attached to it, do you get the interest? No. The bank gets the interest using your money.
What a racket.
It's
a racket. We're another thing that we're involved with, and that is something that all of you listening understand, but unfortunately the majority don't. It's the semantics warfare that's being waged constantly against people. They keep changing the definitions of words or creating new expressions. The word usury now has been formally disenfranchised as a viable vocabulary tool. Usury is now called, this is official and formal, equity. And it is.
Kind of like war actually means peace.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, of course.
It means profit, too.
You know, we want peace, and if you don't want peace, we'll come kill you.
Peace, profit, and prosperity. We're going to give you democracy whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and if you decline our offer of democracy,
we'll kill you.
We'll kill you and bomb your country and, you
That's
know,
right.
turn it
and
to rubble.
Cover it with depleted uranium for the next 4 to 5 billion years.
I don't get it, Jeff. What's wrong with people? I don't know.
Well, I think that they've...
Maybe either you and I are nuts, or we're the only sane people around.
And our listeners.
Except for everyone listening.
Yeah. It's essentially what it is. It's a species that has a smattering of intelligence on its own little world, and it has been, unfortunately, taken over by an evil psychology, many different religions, doesn't matter, who have run this show for a long time. And to them, there's never enough of anything. Never. They own it all, they run it all, they administer it. And if you play ball with them, you can swim near that money stream. If you don't, they'll put you out in the desert. Real simple. Here's a neat new book. I'd like to get this book. People don't remember when Hollywood characters were really larger than life. I mean, these were real interesting people. John Barrymore, W.C. Fields, Errol Flynn. The book is called, I don't know anything about it, I just saw it, Hollywood's Hellfire Club. Remember the Hellfire Club? Wasn't that Benjamin Franklin and all those they had the Hellfire
over
Club?
Over in London. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hollywood's Hellfire Club. The Misadventures of John Barrymore, W.C. Fields, Errol Flynn, and the Bundy Drive Boys. Now, wouldn't that be a fun read?
Right.
The hugely talented, hard-drinking, misanthropic hellraisers from Golden Age Hollywood made the Rat Pack look like Cub Scouts. And that's true. This uncensored account features rare photographs and never-before-revealed information from the personal archives of the Bundy Drive boys and their friends. Interesting. That's kind of a little piece of history that would be fun to wade through.
Well, of course, and what that proves is that we've been the victims of disinformation, propaganda, hype, you know, all the way back into the 40s and 50s. It's not a recent phenomenon.
No. They just honed it. This is better now. They got good at it.
Yeah, it's slicker, and they have extended it not only from just celebrities and Hollywood types that only the scandal magazines would actually tell you anything about what they're into, but now it's news. Our mainstream news journals read like supermarket tabloids.
Well, actually, they read worse in some ways. Some of the stories in the tabs are better written than some of the junk that's running around on cable. You just sort of, I think, said it perfectly. There is the line between news and entertainment is irrevocably blurred. It's gone.
Right.
People don't know.
I think it used to be blurred. Now it's just...
It's gone.
It's...
No, there is no line. It's a continuum.
Omnipresent, you know.
Yeah, it's just like a... It's one of those things like you take a chocolate sundae and it melts and you swirl the vanilla and the chocolate around and it's all swirling in the same cup.
Hey, before I forget it in my old age dotage and before we lose maybe some of your listeners, can I put in a plug for... appearance I'm going to make out at Sedona, Arizona.
They're going for the A-list. They invited you, huh? That's good.
The Real Jim Marsh, live and uncensored. And it's August the 8th at the Sedona Creative Life Center. They're in the beautiful hills of Sedona. So,
all right.
Anybody, I don't know, I guess you can check on the internet. There is a website called Stellar, STELLAR Productions. So just check Stellar Productions and you can find out all the details. And it's not very pricey. And I'll be there to just answer any question anybody's got, if I know the answer. If I don't, I'll still talk to them.
No, you can make good guesses.
Well, most of my guesses have unfortunately proven to be all too true.
Okay. We'll see. Back in just a couple minutes with Jim Mars. And if you're anywhere out in that area, it'd be great to say hello to the gentleman. Shake his hand. Never mind the latex gloves he'll be wearing or the pandemic mask he'll have on. He'll be there. All right, and we'll be right back with you folks in just a couple. Okay, back to Jim Mars. Breaking news here. Sad to report, the Senate has voted to pass the hate crimes bill. Senate on Thursday approved the most sweeping expansion of federal hate crimes law since Congress responded four decades ago to the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. The legislation backed by President Obama, he's actually still just a senator in my book, would extend federal protections granted under the 1968 hate crimes law to cover those physically attacked because of their gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, This bill simply recognizes that there is a difference between assaulting someone to steal his money or doing so because he is gay or disabled or Latino or Muslim. There is the issue. This includes religion and religious disposition, persuasion, etc. So this is a very massive blow to the First Amendment. We have 45 states with hate laws on the books. Hate laws are not needed on a federal level. This infringes upon states' rights. The number of so-called hate crimes has been diminishing every year for years, according to the FBI. Senator Jim DeMint, an opponent of the hate crimes bill, said it was patently offensive that violence against one class of victims would be considered worse than violence against others. He said, we cannot have a colorblind society if we continue to write color-conscious laws. It violates all the principles of equal justice under the law, and he is totally correct. Even Attorney General Holder admitted that the law would not be equally protective of all Americans. I mean, this is absurd. So that's bad news. This is going to be used and misused by various special interest minority groups of various religious persuasions to attack others. Now, the law is not specifically designed to only extend to the perpetrator. The perp is one thing, but also liable under this new set of laws are those that the perp might consider a factor in his or her behavior. So where do you draw the line? What if he picks up George Orwell's 1984 and reads it and goes out and does something to a public official or a police officer because he thinks that all cops are bad?
Yeah, we just have to dig up George Orwell and
then put him on trial.
Stand. Yeah, heck yeah. So what I want to know is that, does this mean if I say Jeff Rentz has a terrible hairdo, does that mean that all the big hair associations are going to come after me?
Well, I'd say it's pretty hateful of you to say that. Hurts my
feelings.
Might
be hateful, but it's not hate, and it's not a be a crime.
What is hate?
Yeah, what is hate anyway?
This is absurd. And
I mean,
I
particularly take umbrage at this whole concept because I have searched my soul, and I have found that I don't hate anybody or anything. Maybe that's because I try to look at both sides of an issue.
Well, we do, and there's no intelligent people don't waste their time on that. That's an absurd, primitive.
But I mean, you can see where this is going. Okay?
Of course it is. You know who's behind it. You know who's behind the hate bill.
I know exactly who's behind it, and I'm not, you know, it's this simple. For the last 70 years, if you tried to criticize Israel's policies, then they tried to tar you as an anti-Semite.
Exactly.
And now that that's beginning to break down and people are beginning to realize that just because you may not like Israel's policy does not make you anti-Jew or anti-Semitic, okay? And so now they're going to try to codify it, okay, so that they can actually, they go beyond just tarring you with a label, a politically correct label. Now they'll be able to haul you into court and shut you up. It's amazing. And for anybody, and of course the problem here is not the people. I think if there was a plebiscite, for those of you who didn't get out of high school, that's a vote. If there was a vote of the general population on hate crime bills, I think you'd probably get defeated because most people are pretty rational and pretty level-headed, and they can understand, a lame horse when they see one in the form of legislation.
Right.
But the problem, of course, is these bought-off so-called representatives of ours in the Congress.
Yeah.
What are these people? What's wrong with them? Are they just totally out of contact?
Well, I can tell you what's wrong with a lot of them. They literally have been, shall we be polite and say, compromised. Sherman Skolnick said the level of blackmail and or bribery in the nation's capital has never been more profound, and he said that on this program nearly 10 years ago.
That's right. That was 10 years ago.
It's so easy. And we have to remember that. I don't know if you saw it. I had a long list of Democrats and Republicans who've been charged at one point in their lives with a sex crime. underage kids, pedophilia, whatever. It's huge, huge list. These people are, in many cases, degenerates, perverts. It's so easy also to get some senator, congressman drunk, to hire a hooker or two, and the guy goes and, come on, take videotape of him, show him the tape, and said, Senator, here's what we have. We just want you to know we'll be advising you from time to time as to how we'd like you to vote on certain issues. That's it.
Yeah.
Real simple. Really, really simple and done all the time.
What you're telling me, Jeff, is that a good percentage of our congressmen are actually being held up for blackmail.
I totally believe it.
I mean, let's call it what it is.
I have no doubt in my mind.
And there's an added dimension of that. Not only are they susceptible to blackmail and being bought off, but there is this unspoken reign of terror going on because they know, and you and I know, and most of your listeners know, but the vast majority of Americans don't know that if they get too far online, they'll die. They'll have a sudden heart attack, or they'll run into a tree skin, or they'll fall out of their airplane, or crash, or something's going to happen.
Happens all the time. Okay, and we're back. The vote on the hate bill was 63-28. I know an awful lot of people who've been phoning senators and expressing the will of the people here. Of course, the homosexual community was very heavily involved in lobbying this. So now, if you have a preacher or a reverend or a minister or something saying that homosexuality is a sin or whatever, watch what happens. This is really a dark day for America. Now, it hadn't been signed into law yet, and Obama says that he will not sign the military appropriations bill if it includes funding for the F-22. So since this, as I understand it, was still attached to the bill, let's see if I can figure this out. Maybe they separated it. The Senate on Thursday approved the most sweeping expansion, da-da-da-da-da. The legislation backed by President Obama extend federal protections against hate crimes law. They'll recognize a voice vote on the passage came immediately after supporters cleared a 60-vote procedural hurdle imposed by the Republicans trying to block consideration of the legislation. Hate crime bill was offered as an amendment to a must-pass defense spending bill that the Senate is expected to finish sometime next week. Several Republican amendments to the hate crimes legislation still could be considered on Monday, but Thursday's vote tonight determined that it will be part of the defense bill when it passes. Okay, so the defense bill will pass. Obama says he's not going to sign it. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, and you know, we were talking about congressional blackmail, and we were talking in terms of, compromising photographs or police records or whatever, but there's another area too that most people don't think about because it involves party politics, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're a Democrat or a Republican and there's something that the party wants passed, then they come to you and they let you know, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, that if you don't vote for this, you're not going to get the party's support, which means you're not going to win the next election. And this idea just disgust me, okay? People, when I vote for somebody and I want them to go to Congress, I want them to actually read the legislation. And then I want to simply ask themselves one question. Is this legislation going to be a benefit to the vast majority of the American people?
Right.
And if they cannot answer yes, then they need to vote against it. Not on party lines. How many times, Jeff, have we talked about party lines anyway? This whole thing about Democrat, Republican, well, what a joke. It's just like George Green, the old lobbyist, and in Washington for the Republicans, and he said he was flown out to Aspen, Colorado, back at the time that Jimmy Carter was running for president. And here was Paul Volcker, head of the Federal Reserve System, Henry Kissinger, and they were trying to enlist his help in raising money for Jimmy Carter. And he said, but wait a minute, says, I'm a big Republican. You're asking me to raise money for Jimmy Carter, and he's a Democrat. And he said, Paul Volcker leaned over to him and says, don't worry about it, son. We control them both. And that, my friend, mm-hmm. is the truth. Mm-hmm. And look how they play us, okay? Mm-hmm. This is what I'm starting to use as an example. Jeff, let's say you want to buy a motorcycle, so you go wandering down along the street where they have, a car and motorcycle
Harley Davidson dealership.
But you wander into a used car lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And the used car salesman gets hold of you, mm-hmm. and does he ask you, do you want to buy a used car? No. He grabs you, talks you up, chats you up, and then basically says, now, do you want this green one or do you want this red one? And in your mind, all of a sudden, you're debating, well, the green one, and it gets good gas mileage, but the red one, ooh, I like that color. And first thing you know, you've bought one of those cars. And you didn't even want the car in the first place. You wanted a motorcycle. But that's the same game that they're playing with us. Hey, get us all going and fired up. Do you want to vote for this Republican, or are you going to vote for this Democrat? Mm-hmm. And they control them both. So you can get a Republican socialist, or you can get a Democratic socialist. Nobody ever asks you, do you want a socialist?
Sure. No, it's a good point. Very well illustrated. Exactly correct, as they say. This is really too bad. It's the religion portion of the bill which is going to be used by a certain group. And I would again implore all good Jewish Americans to throw this Zionist stuff off of their backs. It's time. Study, understand, read the works of Rabbi Michael Dov Wiesmantel, who went through World War II and had a deal worked out to get all the Jews out of controlled and occupied Europe. For $3 million, Rabbi Wiesmantel went to Switzerland, to World Zionist headquarters, and asked for the money. And they said, no, you're not going to get it. Because unless a lot of Jews die in the war, we won't be able to establish Israel after the war as easily as we want. So they sacrificed their own people. There's no question about it. It's historical fact. Read Wiesmantel's 10 Questions to the Zionists. It's right on my homepage. Oh, you can't deny it.
Well, and the added point there is that at that time, during World War II and in Europe, the biggest opponents to Zionism were the Orthodox Jews themselves.
You bet.
You know, they said, hey, we can read the Torah. It doesn't say anything here about us taking land from people. And so, of course, one of the things accomplished by the Holocaust was that it decimated the rabbis and the religious leaders.
Made it a whole lot easier for Zionism to come in and take charge of mainstream Judaism, which is
exactly
what it did.
So what you're saying is, and in my study and research, it seems to be true that the Jews themselves are the biggest victims of Zionism.
Oh, absolutely. You should see the mail I get from some. I've got a letter from a number of rabbis expressing appreciation, and there are groups. Natura Carta is one, Jews Against Zionism, another, and you need to go read and understand.
But you rarely, if ever, hear about these groups or these Jews
in the
corporate control mainstream media.
Because the Zionist media rules, essentially. This is... anyway, this is bad. Very bad day for America. Well, we see
it getting worse, doesn't it?
We see
when
you
think they can't do anything else more stupid, they do something more stupid.
Oh, this is smart. This is very smart.
Well, it's stupid from the standpoint of the public and the people of this country.
Of course it is.
For freedom and for true democracy.
They know exactly what they're doing, these people.
But no, it's brilliant and it's a plan. I mean, this is all planned.
Well, Theodore Herzl.
Read my book.
Read Jim's books. Theodore Herzl's laughing in his grave about now. This was the last real bastion of true free speech. Look what is going on in Europe. Look who's in prison in Europe. So we're going to have Mannheim West is what we're going to have here.
Mm-hmm. But it's all part of the plan.
It is indeed. Okay, back in just a minute with Jim and all of you good people after this.
The time has come for you to start consuming.
Okay, and we're back. I'm going to be interested to see how they play this out. Zionism is a political movement. It's a political party. It's a political philosophy. It's a secular movement of control, consolidation, domination. And if you look at the state of Israel, the racism is blatant. Now, this bill, of course, will impact people on many levels. I'll be interested to see if Obama actually does follow through on his promise to not sign the military funding bill because he doesn't want to spend any more money on the F-22. If he doesn't sign it, then this bill is dead. We'll see. It's not over yet. Amendments can be added to it. I don't know what kind of amendments, but hopefully the 23 senators who voted against it will do something.
Well, and again, this could be a distraction because they will now concentrate our thoughts and our attention on the green car, which is, do we want the F-22 program? Okay. Mm-hmm. And good, bad, or indifferent, whether they pass it, whether they don't pass it, that distracts us from wondering about, well, do we want to go ahead and pass the military appropriations bill and continue our unprovoked wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan,
we can count on that.
We don't want to think about that or address that.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, let me tell you, mm-hmm. I would like to end the program tonight on a cheerful note of hope, okay? I'd like to. Unfortunately,
yeah.
When I look at the economic situation, the political situation, our society, our education system, our immigration system, illegal immigration, I can't come up with anything.
It's true, and we're not being funny. All of you can well understand that. There are a few small things, but the overall catastrophe, and it's not Obama. We have to remember that. It's the power center that put him in there. The overall catastrophe that faces America is well on the way to forever putting the Constitution into the closet. It's going to be an historical archive document. That's it. You don't have partial freedom of speech. You just don't.
Anyway. You don't have partial freedom. You're either free or you're not.
That's right.
And it's that simple, folks. Now, the one hopeful note that I can sound is, I guess I'm the eternal optimist, but I still have some faith and confidence in the goodwill, the good hearts of the majority of the American people. The problem is, we're all sitting out here going,
well,
what's happening? What are they doing?
Yeah, we've been
and they're running this thing and all this stuff through on us so fast. So hot, so heavy, that nobody gets a chance to stop and go, wait a minute, what's happening here?
No. Well, the tricks the Democrats used to push this through were textbook. shutting down debate. There was no debate. The hearings were stacked one day. Even Holder blundered in the hearings by saying that, no, it wouldn't extend equal coverage to all Americans. It was for special interest groups and so forth.
Right. It kind of makes some crazy mockery out of freedom and democracy, doesn't
sure.
it? What does he mean it's not going to extend to all groups? You know, if you must pass hate speech legislation, then at least put it across the board so that everybody, it applies to everybody. But no,
right.
it ain't going to apply to everybody. It's only going to apply to special pet topics.
Well, we'll see what Obama does. And there may be some surprises ahead, we can certainly hope. We should thank the senators that stood firm, and even old John McCain yesterday got up, and maybe he knew there was nothing to lose, but he did blast those who were in favor of this legislation and did it for the right reasons. So.
Yeah, but come on. The George W. Bush administration was chock full of Council on Foreign Relations members on his cabinet. And then you look at Obama's cabinet, it's chock full of Council on Foreign Relations.
Same people.
Members, the same people, the same bunch, the same globalist, socialist
and
agenda.
So
don't you think that if McCain had been elected, we would still have a hate crime bill, but it would be pushed by the Republicans and there'd be a few holdout Democrats?
In all likelihood,
it's a big game, big merry-go-round.
It is. And I think never before has the open, obvious arrogance and mockery of this country been more in evidence from the Federal Reserve than it has been lately. They're just laughing at us.
They squander our money and then ask for more and then have the effrontery to say, no, we're not going to tell you what we're going to do.
They don't even ask for more. They just make it up. They print it. They didn't even print it. They just hit a few keystrokes and that's it. They're creating it out of thin air, as you know. And when Volcker was in, this all goes back. But right now, Bernanke's been asked twice in Congress to account for funds. The first was to account for $2 trillion missing. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you. who the hell are these people? I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to expose them, those who received the $2 trillion, to public ridicule or something like that.
Or reveal what we're really doing with
that's,
your money.
That's, of course.
That's what it comes down to.
We do know that the two-party
system... How can anyone
system,
claim to be a member of a free society when that society takes their money in the form of taxes and then won't even tell their representatives what they're doing with it?
Well, and this is the kind of democracy we are installing in those countries that we have been working for better close to 100 years to upset, overthrow, and we want them to have our democracy. What our kind of democracy means is a puppet government answerable to the Wall Street banksters and the City of London bank cartel, ultimately. That's what it means. That's democracy. They're all puppets. So, okay.
Well, what do we do? Well, next year we'll have some off-year elections coming up. Let's just vote everybody in office out. And
well,
yes,
that should have happened
before. We might accidentally get rid of a few good, decent people. But, hey, that's okay. At least we're sending an unequivocal message. And if you do happen to vote out a senator or a representative that you decide, well, you know, maybe he or she isn't all that bad, well, then re-elect them when the next election comes around.
Right. Well, that should have happened last time, but in point of fact, after the first bailout, when America just screamed and yelled at these people, Americans went ahead and returned all but 17 of the same people to Congress.
And then they wonder why they get the same shaft all the time, you know. Well, and they've got a million tricks up their sleeve. For example, in the 2006 here in Texas, 74% of the Texas voters voted against Rick Perry, okay?
74.
The guy who was pushing the Trans-Texas Corridor, which was just the Texas leg of the Kanamek Superhighway, supported by NASA.
And he wanted to force Gardasil into the bodies of little girls.
The girls,
state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, 74% of the people said, well, that guy needs to be out of there. But what happened? They had, the ticket was so split, mm-hmm. between Grandma Strayhorn, who was the mother of Scott McClellan, the Bush's White House press secretary there for a while, mm-hmm. an obvious ringer, mm-hmm. and musician Kinky Friedman, who I understand is a pretty good guy, but I'd like to know who put up the money and talked him into running, mm-hmm. and the Libertarian candidate, and the Democratic candidate, that Rick Perry, a little, we call him the shrub, because he's just a little bush, mm-hmm. he gets back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they operate, and they have ever since at least 1912, when Howard Taft had pledged to veto any banking bill, which would mean he would have vetoed the Federal Reserve System.
That didn't just happen here.
He was a shoe fire winner, mm-hmm. but J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller people went and talked Teddy Roosevelt into running on a third party, mm-hmm. the Bull Moose Party, and it mm-hmm. sucked all the conservative votes and split them so that Woodrow Wilson got in, and of course he immediately put in the Federal Reserve System. It's the oldest trick in the book, and people still don't seem to snap to it.
No, they don't. I don't think, honestly, there's much chance of them getting hold of it. Even Sarkozy, that's how the Zionist machine put him in power in France. They split the vote.
Yeah.
Old tricks. Old tricks. Jim, thank you for being here. Geez, I don't know where this country's headed, but it's not to green fields and bright sunny skies.
Well, I'm heading back to the Heineconian mine, you be sure and
take
put
a shovel.
Chain when it's time to do this again.
Dig a shovel full for me.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Good night.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, Jim Mars, and he does have some wonderful books, extraordinarily precise in their research documentation about what's going on, who's running the show, and all of it. Go to Jim's website. Just click on his name at rents.com. And we thank you again for the contributions coming in. It really means so much. You just wouldn't believe it. Every bit makes a difference. So thank each and every one of you. All right, we'll be back in 21 hours. See you tomorrow night.